Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
October 7, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, and this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know it? Because you found it, and that's getting harder to do. Anyway, let's see if we can survive, because there's only going to be a handful more shows on the AM and FM radio networks, because we're getting canceled there. So, you know, we'll see if we can send this show over this week. If not, I'll send over Mike Swanson and Derek Brose's segment from last night, which I have not released as a podcast yet. But, you know, is what it is. And if you notice, there haven't been as many podcasts lately. That's because I've been busy with other things, and I'm about to get busier. So, but tonight, open mic, and we are live. So if you're hearing us just a little bit, let's see, 5 minutes after 8 p.m. Eastern Time, all right, on Friday, October 7, 2022, if that's when you're hearing us, you can call in 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. You may want to comment about shows recently, news, things going on, or just crap that's on your mind. It's all fair game. New callers get to change the topic and introduce something new into the conversation one way or another. Also, you can join via Skype if you reach out to me, charles.ocelli. That is my name on Skype. And if you ask me to, I can call you into the show. Do not call me on Skype during the show. Okay. I can call you in if you send me a text message on there and ask me. And if you're not on my Skype list, just request it. I'll add anybody. I may not keep you, especially if you're a pain in my backside. But if you're cool, I'll leave you on the list and stuff. And you can always get in on one of these shows when I'm taking calls. 319-527-5016 on any phone. Even though somebody claims they're on a blacklist out there, there is no such thing. 319-527-5016. You can call in from anywhere. And if you're listening in another country, I would suggest reaching out to me on Skype, charles.ocelli, because that way you can, if we're friends on Skype, you can join the show for free, but I have to call you. So you send me a message, I call you into the show. Now I've repeated myself a bunch of times, and I'll do it once more just for the phone number. 319-527-5016. So, I spent 2 minutes on that, but we're going to spend 2 hours on a lot of stuff. And, by the by, before I even get rolling, want to let you guys know that the Age of Transitions will no longer be heard on Friday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. And Uncle the Broadcast will no longer be heard at 11 p.m. Eastern on Friday nights, because Aaron is moving to... Well, let's see. Aaron is moving to Sundays. So he'll be live on Ocelli.com at 10 p.m. Eastern this Sunday. At least that's the plan. And he'll be following Get Mad with Chris Graves, who starts at 8 p.m. Eastern but could go to 10 p.m. And now he can't go any further than 10 p.m. because Aaron Franz will be live at 10 p.m. on Sundays here on Ocelli.com radio. So... all that is now out of the way. B-Pete, 3.5, almost 4 minutes I wasted now. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. Doing very good. And it's Friday, best night of the week. Unless, you know, you have like 5 Mondays, then it's the last Monday of the week. So it's still a good night.
Yeah, well, I hear you. And who knows what we might do with Friday nights now, because this does mean we can extend sometimes. It does mean we could schedule other things. For Friday night, I don't know what I'm going to do just yet, but we are changing a bunch of things, not just that little hiccup in the schedule, but a bunch of things are going to be changing in our distribution and everything very soon. So a lot of stuff coming up, and we're gonna keep this going, though, because this is always fun and a good way to blow off steam and talk about stuff that is probably not getting spoken about and start up other shows. Oh, and you know, I had a thought about the bet I have with Jimmy James over the gubernatorial race in Georgia. So if he calls in, maybe I'll run a new idea by him. I got away because I'm pretty much feeling like I got a lock on that $50 bet. I'm thinking of a way that I can lay off part of that bet, because it's getting really stupid.
Abrams does seem to be spiraling down day by day.
It's so bad. It's so funny because, like, her campaign commercials, which are beginning to run constantly because now we're less, you know, what is it? Let's see, we're just about a month. 32 days. Early voting, though, starts, I think, next week. You know.
Most places, yeah.
She's going to start picking up a lot of votes in the early voting, and then she's going to get crushed. Coming up to
there's two of her latest statements. The one about fetal heartbeats being a made-up sound. I think that really hit a lot of women like, this lady's delusional.
Well, there's that. Plus, you know, I love the new campaign commercial. I actually was trying to find if I could get a good recording of it, and I was going to play it tonight. Not because I want to support her campaign, but because I wanted to point out how ridiculous part of what she has to say is. And then the commercial that they're running on local TV and radio right after it. Because every time Abrams runs a commercial, there's a Kemp commercial right after. And then there's basically a GOP PAC commercial also that goes on top of it. So every time she runs one, they got two, and they bang her two different ways. It's really funny. One of them is she just wants to be a media star. And why would she even bother to run the government in Georgia while she's running around trying to be a media star? And they play clips of her wanting to run for president and all this other nonsense. And then they point out that she's been on TV and she's done TV shows. And the funny thing to me is they didn't even point out that she was president of Planet Earth on Star Trek. They didn't even add that into the commercial.
You'd think that'd be in her resume. That'd be one of the top points.
Well, I would point it out as, you know, I'm saying that's the GOP PAC commercial against her. That she just, you know, has no interest in taking care of the people's business in Georgia. That she's
surprised the Democrats aren't running a commercial saying that she has prior experience since she's been president of Earth.
But who cares about prior experience? Because, you know, the real heated topic here in Georgia right now is actually the Senate race. Everybody knows Abrams is busted, but the Senate race is an interesting
surface. It's getting down and dirty now, isn't it?
It's pretty
funny. Gloves have come off.
Mm. Well, yes and no. See, it's really weird because some of the most vicious stuff it has yet to land the way I see it. Herschel Walker obviously is taking a bit of a trouncing because, you know, a bit of a beating, I should say. Because, you know, when you run around trying to be Mr. Family Values and there's all kinds of proof that you don't behave like Mr. Family Values, it doesn't look good. But then again, the guy opposing him, see again, here's fun. He's preaching from Martin Luther King Jr.'s former pulpit, right? And he's a preacher, and he should be, you know, all that, and yet, you know, he's got a domestic violence past. And he's, you know, the big thing that the GOP's running against him is he's not for your values, and he has spent all kinds of money liberally in other states outside of Georgia, which... it's kind of a weak argument against him. Instead of really hitting him for the stuff that is true, they're trying to, you know, just basically sweep him into the typical Democratic lane. And meanwhile, Herschel Walker is getting very personally roasted. I mean, by his own son on social media, you know, by the women coming out.
That was a pretty cheap shot.
Well,
I saw part of that. You know, the conservative. What are they calling him? A conservative influencer or something.
They say he's a conservative MAGA influencer.
He took a cheap shot at his dad.
See, but did he? Because at first what was going on, the way I understand it is, you know, people started attacking him for, well, you've had, you know, children all over the place and you're an absentee father. And he spent a lot of time, even before he was running for Senate, you know, pretty much talking about how, you know, black men need to reform themselves, especially because there are far too many absentee fathers in the black community. So then the people started digging up dirt and saying, well, you have this woman, this woman, this woman. And then he started saying that, you know, that woman lied when she said that, you know, I never had anything to do with my kid and whatever. And then there was a mix-up between the one that had an abortion and then after the abortion had a child who's 10 years old now. And this one, this kid is like, I don't know, 20 something. And he's a complete like right wing kind of guy or whatever. And people started coming after him for comments, you know, you're Mr. Family Values, you know, conservative influencer, and you're Herschel Walker's son. What do you got to say about this? Because your mother is one of these women that he's calling a liar and everything else. And, he decided to respond. I don't know if it's a cheap shot or if he was kind of pushed because the media just kept digging. Now you have the Daily Beast, you know, writing full exposés. You have the New York Times writing full exposés, which is really strange considering that it's like a lot of national focus on the Georgia senator race, and neither candidate is all that great. Now, Warnock, has done what he's done. He's got a record.
Of two evils. I mean, that's what people are faced with now in a lot of choices, is which one is the worst. Well, so we'll vote for the other one, even though he's bad. Yeah. He's not as bad as that guy.
See, lesser of two evils, but nobody's attacking. It's funny. They're not attacking Warnock on his personal non-commitment to, you know, family values. And they're not attacking.
Oh, that's coming.
Yeah, it probably is, but they're also not
yeah,
really.
Yeah, I saw an interview with, what was it, yesterday, Herschel. He was on some program.
Right.
And he made the comment that they're preparing new ads. And then I read something. It wasn't Mediaite. It was some other site like that that said, yeah, gloves are getting ready to come off because they're getting ready to dump a ton of ads against Warnock. Now that they've gone super negative, he's going to join the fray.
Yeah, I think it's going to go real nasty now because, and that, yeah, it does not bode well for Walker because he's got all
and
kinds
of. And
it'll
all be PAC money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you watch when you start seeing these attack ads, it won't be, I'm Herschel Walker and I sponsored it. No, it's going to be all these PAC ads,
right,
connected to these groups that aren't direct. So Herschel Walker can, you know, plausible deniability.
Yeah, well, they already opened up the spigot on that. Like I said, the whole thing attacking Warnock for, you know, his liberal spending, that's not a Herschel Walker ad. That's the Republican PAC ad. And that's not even the big PAC money that's going to come in and really saturate the market next. It's going to be entertaining to line up all these commercials because they're going to attack the crap out of each other. And, you know, nobody wants to point out, though, that Walker has no experience running anything. So, you know, I mean, outside of a football, he's never run anything. So he's
I'll tell you what though, he can run a football pretty good.
I grant you that. And Warnock knows how to run over a woman's foot when he's getting into a domestic violence thing. But you know, running is not always the biggest issue. I don't know what's going to happen here. I think that it's become a more pressurized situation. Because they've had really strange performances out of other candidates, and now the sweep of the Senate, I mean, the media is saying it's not assured, but I think it's assured. Because, you know, look, bottom line, everyday people are going to get even more angry about, especially if the gas price starts going back up, which I predict is going to happen right as we lead into the election. We saw the OPEC Plus conference come up and all that. I think that's going to come up. People are feeling it in their pocketbooks. They don't even necessarily know how to do math, but they know they're getting, you know, killed every time they go to try and do anything. All right. Now, we have had relief at the gas pump here in Georgia, and we've had relief on a couple other levels. And Kemp even issued checks to everybody who is on any sort of government assistance. I'm not kidding you, by the way. And they're calling them Kemp cards, these virtual credit cards that he issued out to people who, any, if you're on food stamps or Medicaid, or if you're in one of the government-run homeless programs or any of that stuff, you got $350. They literally just, you know, wrote a check basically, but did it with a digital virtual card, like a virtual Visa card or MasterCard. I don't know which.
California's mailing out relief checks.
Yeah. So, you know, It's getting very strange, and there was all kinds of controversies with the Kemp cards, like, because they didn't want it spent on, there were restrictions, like you can't buy alcohol or like they didn't want anybody
can't use it in a casino. Same thing with like when you get unemployment benefits or SNAP benefits, stuff like that.
Yeah, but you,
in this state, they put a warning right on the card, you know, not to be used in this, there, and other place.
Yeah, it's funny though because they tried to restrict it so you can't withdraw cash on it, nothing. So like these weird virtual cards that people are calling Kemp cards, and nobody has even, you know, said boo, which is funny. Again, Abrams' campaign should have said, he's trying to buy your votes. Because, coincidentally, he's issuing this, you know, within 40 days of the election. You know, this is when
he's
deciding.
Well, that's exactly what it is. The problem is, there's a lot of people out there to say, well, he just bought mine.
Well, you know, $350, that's pretty cheap to buy a vote, actually. Given the amount of money the millions and millions are spending on these ads, right? $350.
Well, out here, a carton of cigarettes will do it for certain individuals.
Yeah, well, you know,
they used to. That is no lie. Back during local election, guys would run around with like burlap bags full of cartons of cigarettes, and they would they'd pull up to a bunch of homeless people and have them, give them a carton to go down and register and vote, because they have that same day registration crap.
Mm-hmm.
So they would, you know, of course they don't. Can't list an address or anything like that, but yeah, it was common practice in this state for a long time, people buying votes.
Yeah, so I was curious, you know, I've given you a sort of an overall rundown on the major races coming up in Georgia. There are some others as well, but, you know, there's a Southern Georgia, I think, House of Representatives.
Well, I read today that because a couple of these house seats and that are look like they're going to go one way. They're going to start shifting their money to the Senate race here in North Carolina. We've got a retired Chief Justice going against a current congressman for a Senate seat. And it's starting to get a little dirty. You know, the negative ads have been running, but I tell you what, I'm going to dread cutting on TV the next 3 weeks. It's just going to be impossible.
Yeah, well, a sad thing too, because you got the baseball playoffs. You going to watch baseball in the playoffs this year or what?
Yeah, of course I am.
Okay.
And this is my favorite season. You got baseball, football, and hockey all here together.
Yeah, they converge at this time of year.
Yes, so, sir. It's going to be a good October, November.
I'm gonna try and keep track of what the Mets do. I haven't looked yet, but I saw that they were in contention. I was like, wow, that's a shocker. I got to check that out. So,
Mets have been something to deal with the past few years.
Looks like, yeah.
They've come a long way.
I kind of stopped watching for a little while, but I mean, if I'm going to root for a team, first of all, it's always going to be National League. And secondly, I love the Mets. So I'm not sure. I think they're playing the Padres.
I hate to burst your bubble, but I think the rules change is coming up that they're going to accept the designated hitter in the National League too.
Oh man. See, now that's going to ruin it for me.
I know.
All right. Well,
I've always been an American League fan. I don't know. I like the designated hitter. It's always nice to have a big gun come in and clean the plate.
Yeah, but you don't think that that's kind of unfair that a pitcher can wind up throwing at somebody and he's never got to face the opposing team and get thrown at himself, you know?
Well, true, but he's standing there kind of exposed when somebody drives a line drive right back at his chest.
Yeah, but that's always the case. But that's always the case, but that, you know, you got to aim a line drive. It's a little different when a pitcher can now intentionally, you know, like you go and you throw at a star player on the other side, you know, if you're coming up to bat, you're taking one in the back. I mean, it's just going to happen, right? And, I mean, that's the way it used to be. I don't know. You know, these guys with their making sure that, probably looking out for each other because, you know, they want to make sure they don't ruin each other's careers anymore. But used to be, they would compete hard and that's the way it was, right? So, I don't know. I liked it better that way when you had that, you know, calculation.
Mets are going up against the Mets are going up against the Braves. They're tied right now in their division. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because the Mets are no slouch. I mean, the past 2 years, Mets have shown that they can play some good ball. Of course, you know, the Braves are off and on. You know, they go through spells. Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years they do good and then they hit a valley and then they come back up. But since the Mets, I know at least the past 10 years, the Mets have been, they've been kicking butt.
Well, you know what it is? I think they're getting happy because they're almost done paying Bobby Bonilla, right? Paying Bobby Bonilla the ridiculous contract. I think they're almost done with that now.
Oh, you mean paying out the settlement?
Yeah, well, I think
settling things.
I think they're almost done paying him for that massive contract, you know? So, because they signed him, I remember it was like, I don't know, maybe 92, right? Something like that, 92, 93. They signed him to the largest deal in, like, baseball history. And, you know, basically, he was nothing. I mean, he was a mediocre, you know, mid-grade player for the Mets after that. Because they thought he was part of, you know, something special.
I tell you, they probably slapped an excise tax on the damn, on the popcorn kids selling just to pay for his. I mean, that was a heck of a contract.
Well, I know why. I mean, yeah, when
I see some phenomenal numbers, but geez.
When they built Citi Field and I inquired about going to see, you know, like, because they Shea Stadium, I had gone to games there. I go to inquire about Citi Field and I'm thinking, well, you know what? Every place has, and I know this is going to sound kind of crappy, but, you know, look, you gotta take what you can get sometimes. They, provide better seats for visually impaired people at a lot of events, including baseball games, right? So, and in a lot of cases, they don't charge you extra for the better seat because it's meant, you know, it's reserved just for handicapped people, right? So, and, you know, I've gotten second and first row seats at concerts in certain venues because of this, because they reserve a certain set of them, for blind people and visually impaired. Okay. So I inquire about this with the Mets, and it was like, yeah, of course we have those seats, but they're like $225. And I was like, regular season game, $225. No. No, and I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about taking a group of five people or anything. I mean, I can buy season tickets with a minor league team for four people for less than that. You know, really? $225? All right. Nope, I guess I'm not going there. And then I looked at, you know, what the concessions cost, and, you know, it's one thing when you got a $10 beer, but, I mean, and I'm talking a paper cup with beer in it. Not even a good beer either, like a, you know, just whatever is sponsoring them at the moment, whatever their main beer is. For a long time it was Budweiser, but I don't know if they went to Michelob or whoever they have to deal with at the park. And that with, you know, a little bit of ice in it, it's usually warm by the time it gets to you. I mean, that's the beer if you wait for it. And if you get up to go get it, God help you trying to get back to your seat without it getting spilled. And those are $10-$12. Okay. I mean, what a hot dog, $6 or $7, right? So if you wanted, yeah, I mean, if you wanted to have like a light sort of dinner and a little snack at the ballpark, you better have about another $100 with you. So I'm thinking I got to have like, say, $400 if I want me and somebody else to go to the stadium. And that's not counting travel. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, no, I can't do this. You know, it's just too much. But so I haven't been to a live game since they built Citi Field.
I'll tell you, that's what I loved about minor league ball for so many years. It was still affordable. You could afford to take your family. Hell, you could afford season tickets, you know. I like watching major leagues, but I've always been a fan of, if I'm going to go to the park, find a good minor league team. It seems so much enjoyable.
Face shifter.
You know, you don't have a whole week of pay invested in a trip to the ballpark.
I mean, yeah.
While we're on the subject of baseball, yes, we do need to give a shout out to Aaron Judge with the Yankees. I mean, he just beat Roger Maris's record, which is the American League record for single season home runs.
And
he's on a path to, I mean, he could go after Barry Bonds' record of 73. You know, he's up to 11 more and, or 12 more. He could take the record. So,
well, yeah, but
you know, he's done good.
You don't count the postseason toward that though, right? I mean, that's done, isn't it?
No, it's regular season.
Yeah. So, but the regular season's over, isn't it?
What do they have? They just, I know it's close to the end. I just checked the standings. Is it over?
I think it is done. I mean, unless they went, I don't know. I have not been watching closely. Somebody said in the chat room, by the way, Face Shifter said that they already instituted the DH in the National League this year. So.
Oh, yeah. Good deal.
That's sad to me, but good deal to BP. But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure because I read this, the win and loss records and it went to 162. So unless they've gone to more than 162 games, the regular season's over.
No, they're still playing games.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Okay. It's wild card games. It's wild card games.
Ah, okay. So, yeah. Okay. So regular season's done, but still Aaron Judge did that, you know, and he doesn't have the shroud of the steroid problem over him that the others
well,
that
and
broke
that's,
the record.
Some of the commentaries I've read, that's the first thing they point out is that the Barry Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa are all question marks or an asterisk beside them. And, you know, cause Maris was the one that took the record from Babe Ruth. Ruth set it back in 27.
Right.
With 60.
And there are
and
two
Maris
guys.
Maris came along in what? 61.
Right.
And passed him.
But that's the thing is
so
both of those guys, both of those guys, no steroids. You know what I'm saying? They were not, I mean, and Aaron Judge is a huge guy, but I don't believe he's, I don't believe he's roided up. So gotta say.
No, I don't. So.
Yeah, more of a legit record.
Well, I don't know. You know, with some of the mixtures they've come up with now, they could be roided up in a certain area and not, he may not be as roided up as some in the past, let's put it that way. But I don't think he is. I don't think he takes anything. I'm just saying it's possible for a player to be roided up, not be as, you know, as bad as Sosa and McGuire were. McGuire,
yeah.
What was it that McGuire was taking?
Well, I thought he
it wasn't classified as a steroid. What was it?
No, I think he was human growth hormone, wasn't he? Wasn't he like HGH?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, either way, it's a more respectable record if you didn't have, you know, pharmaceutical assistance, is all I'm saying. And I, to the best of my knowledge, Aaron Judge has never been appointed to as somebody who has. Now, Barry Bonds, on the other hand, and Mark McGuire both, yeah. So, you know, and Sosa, I don't remember exactly, but I think eventually they came to the conclusion that he had also partaken in some way. But... You know, but there's the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
That's what... Remember the congressional hearings?
Yeah.
The whole time I was looking, I'm thinking, you know, who are these clowns that think they have any control over what goes on in Major League Baseball? I mean, that... You talk about overstepping your bounds. What dadgum difference does it make to a bunch of congressmen about what's going on in a professional sports franchise? Well, I couldn't believe, if someone had subpoenaed me for that, I'd have had to tell them, no, I ain't showing up. I'm sorry, sue me.
Well, see,
that's ridiculous.
Now, the only logical argument, and I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with it, but the only logical argument against what you're saying is that there are so many, what do they call it? Like, there are so many ways that these major league teams get tax breaks, and all sorts of like incentives to do certain things and all that from the government that maybe the government would have something to say about it. Cause I mean, you know, you're talking about $1 billion business that doesn't, you know, not each team. Each team is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, right? But they're doing a business, interstate commerce of all sorts. And I mean, they get all sorts of benefits from the government. So I don't know, you know. How much?
Well,
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much that they get a benefit from the government. I mean, the NFL is a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
So they come under the rules and regulations for a nonprofit organization.
That's right.
But I don't think it's Congress's business to get into if you're taking any type of supplement. I mean, that's none of their business. Our government has gotten so big that they think that they can peel back the cover on anything that they want. And there's just some places they don't belong. And to me, that's one of them.
There's a whole lot
of
places.
It's none of your damn business what I take.
Well, you remember in the 80s, the hearings over music, the music industry. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying there's been plenty of ridiculous things that the Congress has occupied its time with. Oh, by the way, that was another funny thing is apparently – there will definitely be a GOP impeachment proceeding that'll begin the second that they take over control of the Congress. And did you hear about this yet? That there's some rumblings about a particular individual that will be impeached like right away. Did you hear about that yet?
I read something the other day, but I forget who it was about.
Yeah, the cabinet secretary
department.
Yeah. It's the cabinet secretary that's in charge of, basically immigration. So that's who they want to go after, saying that, you know, he's, been in derogation of his duty or whatever. And, there you go. So we know that that's a coming.
Well, if the Republicans take over the House, they're going to have to play it smart. I mean, that person would be impeachable regardless of the end of the Senate, I think. I think some Democrats are really trying to shy away from the current policy of open border.
Well, they'll definitely.
They're starting to feel effects of it, and they're not happy with it. So, yeah, I think that could happen. I've also heard the rumor, you know, as soon as the Republicans get the House, they're going to impeach Biden. Thing is if they don't take the Senate, they're wasting their time. So.
But no matter what.
If they take back the House and the Senate, I think you're going to see Biden impeached.
Yeah, and no matter what, whether they take back part, you know, one or the other, they're definitely going to try and do the Hunter Biden committee. I mean, that's going to happen.
Especially, that's going to happen. Now, I understand that there could be a possible indictment coming down for, what, tax?
Well, there's a tax
issues and
a gun,
a statement on a gun purchase application.
Yeah, a gun application and taxes, you know. But whatever, I think they'll go full throat after that one. But they might test the waters with the cabinet secretary in charge of ICE first. So that ought to be interesting.
That's true.
Anyways, look, I'm going to
I almost think they could do it now and it would work. I think he's impeachable now.
Nah, I don't think so. I think that people will still stick to their sides and they would have too hard of a time. But if they take the majority in both, which I think is very possible, then it's on. I mean, there's just nothing going to stop it. But look, let's take a quick break, get our thoughts together and see if we can get some calls. Matter of fact, I think one just popped on the line. 319-527-5016 is the number to call. 319-527-5016. And you can get involved in the conversation that I'm having with BP or turn it in a whole new direction. You can also reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Message me and I will call you into the show. Do not call me on Skype. I will call you into the show. Anyway, stick around. The Ocelli Effect Open Mic Night Friday continues after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
What would I do? Revelation through conversation. In a radio show / podcast. You want the good news? Listen to the Ocelli Effect. Chuck Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. News, education, and entertainment. The Daily Bread from Ocelli.com. Go there. Save yourself from ignorance. Ocelli.com. But we all agreed to put Ocelli.com on and listen to the Ocelli Effect. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
Jesus. The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before, that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination spoken to her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Chili.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second segment of the live open mic here on a Friday night, the Ocelli Effect. My co-host B. Pete is with me, and you can join us as well. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. Or reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli, on Skype, and if you ask me to, I will bring you into the show. So anyway, we might have had a guest in the first hour tonight, but he did not respond, so we did not put him on, but we do have whoever calls in, and of course, B. Pete. So, B. Pete, first, I mean, I don't know if you want to cover anything else before we go to a caller, but I think we have Jimmy James on the line, so we could bring him in unless you got some other ground we need to get to first.
No, nothing that we need to. Bring him on. Bring him online.
All right, let's do that because Jimmy James has been on hold for a few minutes, but like I said, you can join us too, 319-527-5016. And Jimmy James, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good here.
Excellent. You're not blacklisted, my friend, just so you know.
Oh, remind me to get you a copy of that list here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've seen the documents.
You've seen the documents. All right. Listen, if you can present them, I will answer them and take on all questions about it.
I've seen them at Mar-a-Lago. Now they're all gone, so I can't provide them. Trust me, they were there.
All right. Hey, look, if Trump said it, it must be true. Okay, fair enough. What am I going to tell you? What's on your mind tonight, Jimmy James? I talked during the break with BP about my recent cancellations because I am indeed blacklisted in some places, but also lost my YouTube channel in case you guys didn't know that. If you're looking for me on YouTube, I don't know if anybody else's videos with me on them still exist. But
they took the channel?
Oh yeah, the channel's gone. You didn't know that, did you?
No. When did that happen?
This week they knocked. That's what I'm saying. This week I'm gonna get knocked off of my broadcast. You know, terrestrial radio. They took away YouTube. Confirmed blacklisting in Australia. You know, not just with TNT radio, but their affiliate station, and even hosts that want to book me as a guest for an hour are not allowed to do so. So on and so forth. So if anybody's blacklisted, Jimmy James, it's me, and it seems to be growing. Who knows what'll happen next, but, anyway, you might have something else on your mind, sir. So what do you got? Or do you want to talk about our bet?
About your what?
The bet we have with the Abrams.
I've resonated to myself that I might as well kiss that 50 goodbye.
All right. Well, I have a way for you to lay off 25 of it. I have an idea to cut your debt in half. You want to? You're listening. Okay. Herschel Walker. Do you think Herschel Walker is going to beat Raphael Warnock for the Senate?
Wait a minute. Before you answer, is this, you say $25. Why don't you make it double or nothing?
Well, I don't want to put him in the hole possibly by 100. I mean, that's a lot.
I'm just trying to bump the odds.
Wait a minute, now it's my understanding. Now, hey, you got an inside scope that I don't have. You live there. But it's my understanding that this Herschel Walker man has had what I'll call a bad week. Didn't his black queer son come out in some video and basically try to destroy him?
Well, I didn't know he was gay, but he's a conservative MAGA influencer on social media.
I don't know. You be gay and be a conservative?
Yeah, no, there's definitely listen gay conservatives.
No, listen to me. Mr. Walker is not gay. It's the man's son.
Yeah, I know.
That's right. That's right. He's a, they call him a conservative pundit on what YouTube, I guess, and other places. So
yeah,
but really though, can you truly be a conservative and be gay?
Christian Walker is his name, and I didn't know he was gay. That's all.
Put you in the progressive I would think that would put you in the progressive tank, not the conservative tank.
Well, no, there's what they call log cabin Republicans, right? Which are
log cabin Republicans are Democrats. Go ahead. Let me go ahead and get that. Let's dispel that notion right now.
Okay.
Lincoln Republican or log cabin Republicans are not Republicans.
Okay. Well, again, I had a crossdresser on here, Lady MAGA, right? Who is a total Trumper, who is a crossdresser, a drag queen. I'm just saying, and I'm willing to bet he was quite gay.
Well, I don't consider Trump a conservative.
Okay. Well, then
based
I guess.
Based on his record in the past, I don't see how anybody could consider he was conservative.
Well, what if somebody's on board with all conservative values with the exception of they believe in gay rights? Can they not be conservative if they have that exception?
I would not think traditional conservative thought would include gay rights.
I wouldn't think so either, but what the hell is traditional about conservatism at this point anyway? Herschel Walker would be an unacceptable candidate right now based on old school conservatism, just with half of his track record. So, you know, but they're not doing that.
The Republicans today have gotten so far away from Republicans that started the party and their platforms. It's crazy. True conservatives, you know, are they're there for the smallest amount of government they get away with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot that's the problem with the Republican Party now. They're not Republicans anymore.
Listen, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that this is what I'm told is, and there are conservative pundits out there. I mean, there was one lady was on TV, I think, just earlier today, said, "I don't care if Herschel Walker is murdering you know, bald eagle babies or whatever, so long as he's going to vote accordingly with abortion rights and he's going to vote accordingly with the GOP platform, I don't care what he does." This is what some of these people have said. And there are plenty of people on the other side of the aisle that take the same attitude. We don't care what they did. We're going to tell you that they're going to vote on our side, so who cares?
That's the problem with politics nowadays. We've gotten so far away from trying to control our government. It's out of control now. We're never going to reduce it. We need to do something else.
That's yet another issue. But anyway, Jimmy James, so what are your thoughts on Herschel Walker? Maybe he had a bad week, but his son is already a influencer on social media that claims to be a conservative. I don't know if he's gay, but I guess he might be. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Let's find out.
I just read stuff about him, but I don't remember reading he was gay. But okay. Maybe he is.
Do I think he'll win?
Sorry?
So what's your question? Do I think he'll win?
Yeah.
Or lose?
That's the thing, is I was wondering which position you would take if I was to bet you another 25 on Walker. I'll let you pick whether Warnock or Walker is going to win. And that way you can adjust your problem with Abrams.
Yeah, I'll adjust it, all right. I'll end up on a C note. I could see that.
All right.
See, everything's so corrupt in that state. I don't trust it. I mean, if it was a straight-up popular raise your hand vote, I'm sure he'd win, but that's not the way things work.
Well, again, you know, the inside information that I have is that basically if you want to talk about who's got their finger on the scale, it would be the people that would support Herschel Walker. The GOP controls this state, with the exception of like two areas, primarily, and I allegedly live in a blue area myself, but It's by a fractional margin, and I don't think it's true. You know, based on what it is I can observe for myself and voting, it's always a mixture. But the majority of this state is red, red, red. If you ever take a look at the map, you know, it's only Atlanta and Savannah that turned it purple. Really.
Well, yeah, because that's where a good... probably most of your population is. That's the way it is in most of these states.
Well, not in most.
Michigan, as goes Wayne County, Detroit, as goes the state.
Well, you know, but then again, it is not like that. I mean, when was the last time we had a Democratic governor? It's been a while. You know, Abrams lost. Others have lost trying to take the governor's mansion here. Generally speaking, we did not have Democratic senators. We usually had Republicans in recent times. You know, this is the land of Marjorie Taylor Greene, too. Don't forget.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, wow. It's, you know, definitely not a left-wing state, okay? Yeah, if you're going to put your thumb on the scale, or if you're going to assume that there's a thumb on the scale, it is definitely on the GOP side. They have control of most of the media. And like I said, even with the huge amounts of money coming in, they're shadowing the Abrams commercials on local TV and radio and everywhere 2-1. So even the ads are running like 2-1, even with all that money that the Democratic Party dumped into this state for Abrams, which I don't know why they did. It's a waste. But, you know, there it is. I think she's going to wind up with a, you know, if Biden can retain the White House or whoever can, you know, whoever survives can, because it won't be Kamala, that's for sure. But whoever, if the Democrats keep the White House in 2024 for some reason, which I don't think they will, but if they did, she's probably got a cabinet position waiting for her. But I think that's the best she's going to do. Nobody's going to select her for anything here in Georgia.
Yeah.
All right, no problem. We won't. We'll just leave the $50 damage as it is. So, but what else do you have on? What else do you have on your mind tonight, man?
A couple issues of medical tyranny in the headlines this week. I see a bunch of Iowa prisoners were given 6 times the dose of the COVID boosters,
ooh,
which caused all of them to overdose and get sick. And they sued, and the judge said no.
Wow. Well, there you have it. For everybody that thinks, you know, a lot of people think that these prisoners that file lawsuits win a lot. They don't. Most times they get dismissed, and not to say there isn't a nuisance level of lawsuits in some states by people that are imprisoned, because there is, and some of them for very valid reasons. I mean, just because they're serving time doesn't mean that they should be fed toxic water like they are in some places. Or, you know, or treated as they are in some places, but they usually don't win these lawsuits. So not surprised that they got jacked up with 6 times the COVID vax, and, you know, screw you, you're serving time anyway. So you have no rights. Yeah, that makes sense. That's, part of the medical tyranny, though. Still, that's in play, even though Biden said, the pandemic is over with, right? But,
Well, the White House backed that up. Didn't back him up.
They walked it back, yeah.
Back the talk.
Right.
Oh, no, he didn't mean it.
That's not what he meant. Yeah.
He was just speaking in his own capacity as president. Like they did when the Surgeon General pretty much said the same thing, or the woman that runs the disease stuff.
Yeah.
He said, well, he was giving her own opinion, then she went away to some kind of school.
Yeah, they had to teach her how to handle the media, right?
That was in Iowa. And the other atrocity I read in this, everyone better pay attention. No, this isn't no conspiracy theory. This isn't blah, blah, blah. The AMA somehow a letter got leaked or whatever, with the AMA writing the Department of Justice asking for the imprisonment of journalists, and it actually says journalists who speak out against sex change operations for minors.
Oh, lovely.
What
can I say, man? why it is that we are in this state where it's supposed to be normalized to start screwing with kids who have not even finished going through puberty, I do not understand. It makes no sense to me at all. I can't wrap my mind around it. And I believe in people's personal freedom. If you're a grown person and you want to mutilate your body and cut your genitals off and turn them into something else, and you know what? Have at it all day long. That's your right as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, I'm thinking that it should not be legal, acceptable, or normal for this to be done to children. You know, you're a grown person. You want to do this to yourself? Like I said, you got the ability to pay for it, whatever. But I don't understand this. I don't understand this normalization, this move toward this. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But, you know. So, you got any comments on that, BP?
Well, I'm with you on the child mutilation thing. I think it's kind of, it's gotten out of hand. It really has gotten out of hand. And it's screwing up a bunch of kids in their heads that's going to take them a long time to get over. It's a shame that we've gotten to that point in this society, but that's where we are. We're having to, you know, families are having to deal with this stuff on an everyday basis. And it's just being pushed on them from every direction.
Yeah. I don't know, Jimmy James. Depressing topics. I gotta give you that. Two depressing topics in a row.
Raising kids today, I just don't see how parents do it. I really don't. It's hard. You know, you look at, and maybe it's because I'm older than a lot of the people that come on the show here, but, you know, there was a time where kids could be a kid, and now they've got so much coming on them from such an early age that we're forcing them to grow up, and they're not being able to, I don't think they're being able to enjoy their childhood. I mean, look at how many of them are on some type of mood enhancer. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, I know it. I mean, look, there's a good reason why I'm homeschooling Frankie. I mean, you know, I don't even want to put him in the mix with this madness. That's what it comes down to. It's just, you know, I know I can't protect him from the world, but, you know, I can.
The thing that I don't understand is we have school administrators and teachers and people involved with the staff that it's like they're going after your kids and they're hitting them when they're most vulnerable, you know, at their earliest ages. And to me, that's just, it's predatory. I mean, it's one thing to try to change somebody's mind when it comes to politics or social policy. Somebody that's an adult, you know, participating in society, trying to make it through life and raise their family. But when you start going after their kids, you know, that's just diabolical to me.
Yeah. I know. I wonder what the motivation is, what the greater addition to society is. You know, I mean, do they really believe this nonsense of, no, this is actually the evolved way to look at this? I don't see how it can be, you know.
It's just evil. I mean, there is evil in this world, and to a degree, I mean, that's part of it.
It's true, but, you know, I don't know. I cannot wrap my mind around the idea of wanting to encourage. I mean, you can imagine a lot of things when you're a child, and you could think of yourself in a serious way to maybe somehow be a superhero, or, you know, or maybe you know, have a wild fantasy life, flights of fancy, because your brain is not entirely grounded in reality yet, you know. I think that on almost all counts, people would say, you know, children are not able to navigate through the reality they're in on their own. I mean, that's just a general sort of accepted, you know, piece of wisdom there. You can't possibly know how to make these sorts of decisions that are going to have an effect on you for the rest of your life. This is why, you know, 10-year-olds don't marry their little boyfriends and girlfriends.
Well, but think about this. Think about this, too. I mean, that's one reason that these people decide to go after kids at such a young age, because they are vulnerable. It's easy for them. And to me, that is what makes it even more diabolical.
Well,
to take advantage of somebody like that.
There you go. I mean, even with the agenda that was, you know, pushed where it was encouraged and, Man, I'll tell you, I get myself in all kinds of politically incorrect trouble here if I discuss this, but look, there is a certain amount of the population that's going to go in the not natural design direction, you know? It's just going to be that way, but to encourage it as a viable, healthy, popular, good, you know, better than being just, you know, standard, cisgendered, all this kind of thing, I can't wrap my brain around it. Like, and it's not because I'm hateful.
You got to start with the basics. Look at what they started doing, okay? You said gender. Gender used to be a simple thing in the world.
Yeah.
You knew what your gender was. Your gender was it was assigned at birth. And now we're hearing that, well, it's possible that, you know, doctors make mistakes when they assign your gender at birth. You know, that worked for how many centuries? How many thousands of years? How many millennia has that been fine? You know, now they start at the basics. They start changing the definition of what this is and what that is. And if they change enough definitions, then you end up where we are now.
Well, see, that's the thing.
When you say cisgendered, that is a very recent word, cis part of it.
Right.
And it's because if you don't, you gotta tear that apart to make the rest of the pieces fit in their twisted little logic. So let's go to the basics of things. Let's change that. Once we change that, then that opens up a whole different discussion for all this other delusional crap.
Well, and see, that's the thing where, you know, action and identity are not necessarily the same thing. And, you know, the idea that you came with a package, you know what I'm saying? You came with a package and it was your genitals and your reproductive organs. And if you came with both, I get it, then you could be something other. But if you came with the set that was generally considered to be masculine and you came with the set that was generally considered to be feminine, it was a pretty easy thing to understand. You were a boy, you were a girl. Okay? Real simple. Now, if you were a boy that wanted to be with boys, well, then that was your choice, that was your drive, whatever. Then they said, no, you're born that way. Okay. Maybe, maybe not. But either way, that's a choice of action, not a choice of physiology that you started with. You know, like when I've tried to explain, and I got into this argument years ago with somebody I care about a lot, where I said, look, you know, even if you go through sex reassignment and they give you hormones and you now, you know, you started life, you know, with male genitals. Now you don't have them and they've given you stuff to grow breasts and everything else. If we examine your chromosomal structure, you are still going to be male. Even if they've done the best job in the world, you look like a female, you have breasts, you appear to be female all the way around, your physiology is still going to say that you're male. Your hormones might not. Your blood might have different things in them to indicate whatever, whatever, but you're still an XY, you know, or you're an XX. It's just that simple. And there may be deviations on occasion, but frankly, the majority of people are just going to be that way. The overwhelming majority of people are just going to be that way. Now, if there are choices that are made or you want to argue that there is a natural physiology that causes, you know, one to be homosexual, which is almost an unacceptable term at this point, I guess that's arguable. And look, keep studying the science and figure it out. But to my understanding, that is a course of action as opposed to a course of being.
But to a certain degree, I mean, let's look at homosexuality. For a long time, that was listed as a mental disorder.
Yeah.
And the board that makes up the, what is it, the psychic desk reference or whatever they're used, I forget the name of the publication. A lot of the guys that were in charge of putting that together, a lot of them were homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the meaning. In the book, it's no longer listed as a mental health issue, but gender dysphoria still is. They're trying to get that changed. They're trying to normalize things that are not normal. Mm-hmm. Once you can normalize something, then you can start pushing in other avenues and break out from there. And that's what the homosexual movement, you know, they got it normalized.
Mm.
Now you can't see a TV program. You can't see a movie. You can't see something without the token homosexual or lesbian or gay person in it. Then it got, so see, that wasn't good enough to start with. You were either gay or you were homosexual. Then we had lesbians. Now we've got what? LGBTQ+.
Yeah.
So they took the, you know, they just kept adding on and adding on and adding on. The problem is they've still got gender dysphoria listed as a mental health issue. Until they can get that out of the manual, it's going to be looked at as a mental health issue. Once it's removed from the manual, oh, you can't call it that anymore because, see, we took it out of this book. So let's expand from there. It's all a psychological game. You go to the, you know, you go to the base point, you change the definition of that, and then it's open to anything that you want to do from then on.
No, look, I got no argument with what you're saying. It's just a matter of I lose the string of logic at a certain point here where, you know.
Well, that's just it. It isn't logical. And that's why they go about it the way that they do. They change their definition. You have a set definition of what you always thought something was. They come up with this new twist in the definition, and eventually you lose their logic. And that's what they want to do. They want to confuse you to the point that you're not thinking logically anymore. You're just accepting what you're told.
And, you know, to begin with, as I was stating on, you know, last night's program, discussing PTSD, you know, you have the psychiatric community, which is not a hard science of any kind, because there is no way that you have replicatable results in all these things that they're claiming to be scientifically sound. And this does go to that whole thing you were just talking about with the, you know, the SSRIs and all this, the psych meds that are out there. I mean, it all goes to this thing where you and I, BP, could literally have the same diagnosis and, you know, they'll say, okay, this is the drug for, let's just say we're both depressed. This is the drug for your depression. You're both men. You're both, you know, equivalent in all sorts of ways. You give me the drug, I might be suicidal. You might be fine. You know, and you might do well with it. You might have other problems where, okay, your appetite changes and you can't sleep and now you're thirsty all the time. The side effects, which are effects, are not steady. They're not replicatable. You start screwing with brain chemistry and the nuances are lost. These are still very blunt instruments that they're using, and it's become extremely normal. I mean, I gotta say, there was a point at which maybe 25 years ago, most people you knew were not on a psych med. And today, look, not even talking about the people that you know personally necessarily, but go and take a sample of just random people in public, you'll find that there are more people than not on a psych med, if they have health insurance, for sure. You know what I'm saying?
One form or another, of course. Yeah, it's become something. I mean, it's big business now. Big Pharma's pushing it too. It's strange, but even today, I'll give you an example. Back in 2014, the number one girl K-pop group in South Korea, top of their game. They had just put out an album that crushed the sales charts. They were hitting number ones left and right. A member of their group, Park Bom, she came over to the United States when she was in junior high school. Or no, I think she was finishing grade school, started junior high school, middle school. And then she moved from, I think, California up to Maine because she wanted to go to an arts school. She wanted to become a singer. Mm-hmm. She wanted the vocal training and all that. So she goes to Maine. Now she's in high school in Maine playing soccer, and her very best friend dies on the field during the game. And this just threw her out of whack. completely out of whack. She, I mean, that's a sport she had been playing her whole life. She just totally gave it up. It's almost like she's experiencing PTSD over watching her friend die on a soccer field.
Okay.
So she gets treated over here. A few years later, she goes back to Korea. She tries out for an entertainment agency. She tries 3 years in a row. She finally gets accepted. Okay. Mm-hmm. She becomes a member of the number one girls group in Asia, all of Asia. And 2 years before that, she had started to slip back because of her training schedule and you know, everything that was going on and the stress. She had started to fall back into this depression, mm-hmm. That she was experiencing before. So they contacted her doctor in the States, and he sent her Adderall prescription. I think it was from, anyway, it got mailed to Korea in a package of other things from a family member. Mm-hmm. They picked up the prescription for, put it in the mail, sent it to Korea. It got caught at the airport.
Okay.
When they did their normal search. Adderall in the United States is like M&Ms. Yeah. It's a drug that is handed out regularly. I mean, there's a lot of people on it from grade school kids on a, yeah. Well, over in Korea, it's considered an amphetamine, and it is illegal.
Well, it is, in fact, an amphetamine.
As to whether she knew this.
It is, in fact, an amphetamine, though. That's the thing about a lot of these drugs.
Well, no, yes, it contains amphetamine salts. It is a type of amphetamine.
Right.
But the way the Korean society, well, it was, they brought it in. And there was an investigation done.
Right.
And she provided her medical records and everything else. Mm-hmm. And they didn't prosecute her for it because she had a prescription for it. When they tracked her down, I think the prescription was for 30 pills. Mm-hmm. And she had taken the two that she would normally, she took them like every other day. Mm-hmm. And so she had taken the proper amount. So they said, well, she's not abusing it. She's not selling it. It's for her medical condition. Mm-hmm. And it was dropped. 2 years later, the press got wind of it. And because of some things that were going on in country, I don't know if you remember the Seawall ferry accident where all those students died.
The
ferry capsized.
Flipped over, yeah.
That had just happened. And they're thinking that somebody leaked this to the media to get the heat off of the prime minister over there who was being accused of not acting quick enough to help save these kids. So it was something to get her out of the news.
Okay.
So the media comes up and they run this story that Park Mom was smuggling amphetamines into the country and was let off because of her celebrity, which then meant that because of the story, I mean, she had to suddenly reveal all this personal information about her medical diagnosis and this and that. It completely tore up that group. That's four people who lost their livelihood over this stuff.
Right.
Because the entertainment company disbanded the group they quit any type of activities. Then the very next year, they disbanded the group and didn't even tell the members. They found out about it in the news that this group had been disbanded. Two of them were allowed to sign contracts. Park Bom wasn't allowed to renew a contract with her agency. She's out on her own. She lost everything over something over here that's considered as common as an M&M.
Right.
It's amazing how something so simple as a prescription for Adderall can affect somebody's life like that because of the way this mental health issues are very verboten in Korea. There's a lot of things that aren't discussed in public. Mental health issues, suicide, teen pregnancies. These things are all kept hush-hush. You know, it's still a very closed society in a lot of ways.
Right.
Even though they're a very progressive society, they're still very reserved. They're very old-fashioned, let's say. So here you have four people that lose their livelihoods damn near over a simple prescription and the way that it was presented to the public, that she's smuggling amphetamines. You know, she's just like a cartel as far as everybody's concerned. I mean, she was getting death threats over this thing.
Ridiculous, yeah.
But it's just amazing the attitudes, you know. Korea, you think they're a very progressive society. They're very, they're out in front when it comes to technology and things like that, but something as simple as an Adderall prescription makes you a pariah to this day. She still catches hell over it.
Right.
You know, she'll make an appearance on a show here or there, and the people, netizens over there, just suddenly get online and they trash her left and right. They're still calling her a drug smuggler.
Well,
I mean, it's crazy.
That's the thing.
It's just funny how societies like that react differently. To hear it so common, if someone said, "Well, I'm taking Adderall," someone said, "Well, I'm on Prozac." You know,
yeah, right.
You compare prescriptions.
It's nothing. You know, Adderall, Prozac,
yeah.
Seroquel, you know, all this stuff. It's just, it's very commonplace. You remember, there was like, it must have been the late 80s, but Geraldo Rivera, remember he had trouble? Because he was going to a doctor,
yeah.
And they gave him, what they ended up giving him was cocaine. And there is a yeah. medical grade cocaine that, you know, I don't know if it still exists, but it did exist, and you were able to get this as a doctor, and they were doing this procedure because he had a bad back. Where they were putting,
yeah, it still exists because they, yeah, they'll use it as a topical anesthetic still.
Yeah, so but they were putting basically dipping like cotton swabs in cocaine and putting them up Geraldo's nose. Right now he's doing this under the supervision of a doctor, but in a technical sense, you know, you can't have cocaine. I mean, cocaine's a problem, right? It's a criminal liability here, but. You know, much like the struggle with cannabis has been. But Geraldo got all kinds of flack for this when he was under the treatment of a doctor. And it's like, okay, now is that the best way to go about dealing with your back pain? I don't know. You know, I've never been able to solve my back pain issues. And, you know, as I documented on this show, I got hooked on, you know, Oxycontin and Percocets, right? Well, you know, there you go.
You should have tried to coke. You wouldn't have got addicted.
I probably wouldn't have. If I had to go to the doctor and get cotton swabs up my nose for every visit, you know, I might have done better. I don't know. You know, that's the thing about this is that.
Well, if you think about it now, that's like this fentanyl crisis that they have. And, yeah. And I'm still baffled on this. Fentanyl is supposed to be one of the most deadly drugs in the world. You know, 2 or 3 grains of it can kill an elephant. Blah, 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 blah. But it's coming in supposedly, you know, pounds of it at a time. And now they're finding it in tablets that are rainbow colored and they're worried that's to attract the children. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if you're worried about your kid's propensity to take a drug that doesn't know what it is, maybe you shouldn't start feeding them Prozac and things like that at age 6.
Well, that's the thing, because is if you're normalizing. Yeah, if you normalize.
It's common for them. If you have a problem, you take a pill.
Right. If you normalize that to begin with, then what do you expect? You know, and that's another weird thing is not only with the fentanyl, but you know, they've actually started, and this is something I was going to talk about on the show coming up. I got a guest coming up, going to talk about the current heroin business because they have these bright colored just heroines out there now, which are,
yeah.
You know, it's primarily heroin. There may be fentanyl in it. But fentanyl is a weird thing because it's not new. I've tried to explain this. We had this stuff and we're able to...
Oh, no, it's been around. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is if it's so deadly, why aren't people dropping dead left and right if it's in use that much?
Well, here's
the other
problem.
Is it deadly or is it not deadly?
Well,
you know, what if they're lacing all these illicit drugs out there that you're buying, you know, and that's one thing that's changed. You know, used to back in the day, if you were to purchase something or get a hold of something like that, you pretty much knew who you were getting it from and where they were getting it mm-hmm. from. Today, not so much. You know, the stuff is being pumped in. And for everybody out there listening, the majority of fentanyl and everything that's coming in this country is not coming across our border. Okay, let's kill that myth right now.
Yeah.
Most of it is coming into ports through other means, and that's why so much of it gets through. But anyway.
And
you
there
know,
are
back
some,
then,
yeah, there are some guys manufacturing
where
it here
stuff
too.
Was coming from. Yeah. Here lately, you have no idea. China is pumping stuff into this country left and right. You have no idea what's in it. Nothing.
Well, plus once it changes hands, here's the thing, and I know this from personal experience, you turn around and you expand
and
your supply.
On.
So you go ahead and you whack it up with something else to increase the supply. And you put in something cheaper.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's the whole reason why there's plenty of baby laxative in cocaine. If you get cocaine, you know, a couple of things you're going to get for sure, unless you have a very pure source, is some baking soda and some baby laxative. That's a guarantee that's going to be in your cocaine. And then you never know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing is that once it's been handled by a bunch of different people, it's almost like, you know, I feel like it would be more sensible if it was just simply legal and it could be regulated, and then you wouldn't have these
heroin
issues.
Heroin used to be expensive, and the reason heroin was so expensive is because it was hard to get it into the country, and it was from the sources that it was coming from, with the cost involved, who they had to pay off. Heroin was an expensive drug. Now, OxyContin pills have gotten so high on the street that people are turning to heroin because it's a cheaper way for them to get their buzz. Right. We've had a big outbreak of it in this state in several towns where, you know, the overdoses from heroin, it's an everyday thing. And you used to never hear about that. So, you know, we've conditioned our kids to start taking pills at 6. And we wonder why we have such a crisis today.
Well, the conditioning
when you start them young, when you start them young, you've got a customer for life.
Well, and here's the conditioning. It's not even necessarily, you know, some people go pill, pill, pill. Okay, it's not even necessarily just the pill. Let's just get down to the real bare bones of it. If there is a problem of any kind, pharmaceutical, it doesn't matter if it's
absolutely
a shot, if it's an inhaler. You know, there's a whole bunch of these people running around inhaling steroids and all kinds of stuff. No matter what, here's a pharmaceutical solution. Anything that bothers you, pharmaceutical solution. Whether it's an over-the-counter painkiller for your headache or it's, you know, something is bothering you, your stomach, it doesn't matter. There's always a pharmaceutical solution. You normalize that.
Well, the perfect example of that is off the Big Bang Theory, where Bernadette is working for a pharmaceutical company, and she comes in and someone asks, you know, what'd you do today? Oh, we both invented and cured rapid leg movement. You know, they designed a pill. It's mm-hmm. almost like they're coming up with a pill. Okay, what can we attach this to? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good for left eye blinking syndrome. Let's put it out there. Yeah. You know, there's a pill for everything now. And that's what we're teaching our kids. No matter what your problem, matter where your station of life, there's always a pill that's going to take care of your problem.
Right. And when it doesn't work and they discover that side effects are fairly consistent, then they say it's for that anyway. You know, I mean, it's the blood pressure medicine that winds up being, you know, for hair growth. the other blood pressure medicine that winds up being for, you know, erectile dysfunction. They just repurpose
and
repackage. Yeah, Chantix.
I forget what Chantix was originally intended for, but they found out it helps people quit smoking.
It was an antidepressant.
And that's what.
Yeah, it was an antidepressant.
Antidepressant.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember the exact name. If somebody said it, I'd know it. But it was an antidepressant. It wasn't all that great as an antidepressant. It kind of worked. But then they discovered that a lot of the people they were giving it to could quit smoking. Because it would mellow them out.
Took that edge off.
Yeah, it took the edge off enough. So then they repackaged it as a quit smoking solution. And by the way, I took Chantix and it didn't work for me. But
well, I tried it and it didn't. I'm thinking this is a waste of time.
Well, it was
but
funny.
Look at how many prescriptions were sold.
Oh, tons.
Just on anti-smoking.
Tons. You know what? I took it, and you know, like, you're supposed to take it, the directions are, you take it, and then for like a week, I think, you're supposed to take it and keep smoking. And then in the second week, you step up the Chantix, and then you're supposed to stop smoking. Well, I got, you know, the first week, by the end of that first week, I felt pretty good. I was pretty happy. It did elevate my mood, to be honest with you. And then I tried to quit smoking and I went like, I was a nervous wreck crazy. To the point where, okay, let me put you this way. My boss, who actually I think gave a crap about me, wanted me to get, you know, was like, listen, why don't you quit smoking? And I said, I can't. It's too hard. And he said, look, I got a friend who took Chantix and whatever. And I said, look, boss, I appreciate your input and everything, but first of all, I can't afford to try it because I think the prescription was something like $300. And I said, look, my health coverage will not cover it. And I'm trying to remember the name of this stuff. I know there's a basic name for it too. That's like a common, again, it's still used as an antidepressant, by the way. But they don't call it Chantix. They call it whatever the original name was still, but it's not in wide use anymore. Now it's more for this. But anyway, he says, look, I'll pay for it because I want you to get healthy and I'd rather that you weren't smoking. I said, okay, if you're willing to pay for it, I'll try it. Well, at the end of, like, say, 2 days of me trying to quit smoking, okay, and my wife at the time also, same thing, pushing it. Yes, absolutely. You got to quit. The both of them, by the end of day two, on the third day, I was delivered 2 packs of cigarettes, 1 from each of them. Just smoke, please. Cause you're out of control. Like, I was nuts, taking it. And I was like, okay, I'm throwing this $300 prescription away. And, I'm just going to go back to smoking. Cause I know I'm out of control. I didn't think I was that bad, but 2 people that wanted me to quit and 1 guy who actually paid for the prescription for me, was just like, you know what? Just smoke, please.
Just an FYI, from September of last year, in June of last year, Pfizer halted the production of the smoking cessation medication Chantix. Varenicline is the actual drug name. Due to the presence of unacceptable levels of nitrosamines. Nitrosamines are chemicals found in nature in the human body, but consuming high levels of these long-term may raise the risk of cancer. All batches of Chantix are impacted by the recall, but the FDA doesn't recommend that people stop taking Chantix at this time. Now, how is that? Isn't that a contradiction from your favorite government agency? Mm. Oh, it's bad, and if you take this long-term, you could get cancer, but we don't want you to stop taking it.
Ooh, was this
300 and let's see, 30 tabs. You can get it for $351 at Costco, $192 at Walgreens, and $267 at Target.
Well, I was looking at something.
Crazy.
Well, I was looking at something that said that the generic version of it is the thing that went wrong. I think the name brand version was okay, but maybe they put a stop to all of it because they
This is from Pfizer. Pfizer halted Chantix. Now, if there's a generic out there, it's probably still being made.
Maybe they're still making the generic. I don't know. I remember there was another name for this, and it was probably a brand name, because I think what you just said is the chemical name, but there was a brand name for it, and I think it's still actually produced under that brand name, but whatever. You know, either way.
Yeah, it had several names. What was I just saw a list of like 4 or 5 of them. It was, let's see. Chantix, no, that's not the list. Yeah, there's about 4 or 5 different brand names that it was sold under. One of them was Chantix, one of them was
Chantix
Mix,
or something.
I think. Oh, yeah. You know, it's kind of, kind of funny how, you know, oh, here we go, brands. Chantix starting month box, Chantix continuing month box, and then there's some other, let's see, they got another list somewhere buried with other names on it. But yeah, they're going to make it in the generic until it's just banned, because a lot of people are still using it.
Right.
You know, it's popular, and it works for a lot of people. It didn't work for me. I've tried everything from Chantix to the patches to you name it.
Yeah, no, it didn't work for me either. Another popular one was Zyban, I think, was the name of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Zyban was another one. I think Zyban might have been more expensive than Chantix was. I could be wrong about it. You know, I remember both of them becoming available about the same time and having similar chemical components, but of course one was probably owned by one of the larger pharmaceutical companies, the other by another one, but Anyway. Well,
what I find funny about that is, though, is the company that makes it says, okay, we're recalling this because it's got high levels of this thing that could give you cancer, and we're pulling it off the shelf. We're going to stop production of it. But your local neighborhood FDA says don't stop taking it. I mean, don't you find that to be kind of a contradiction?
Well, you know, again, the same FDA that can't figure out whether, you know, what is that antacid that's causing cancer now, right? There's, what is it?
Zantac, because I took it for years and years and years, and they've brought it back.
Yep.
They're now making Zantac again with a different formula in it. But no, I took that stuff for years and it worked. I swear by it. So when they pulled it from the shelves, Prilosec didn't work for me.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, you can only choose so many Tums. That stuff worked and I was glad. And I've started using again since they brought it back.
Yeah, but see,
but it, you know, it's,
yeah, but that's another thing. Every
I guess
one
I got
of these
a lawsuit
things.
For my retirement.
Maybe. I mean, every time you turn around, though, you find out that, you know, these pills, they're perfectly acceptable and everything else. Even the list of problems they tell you you could have, there's always more. And you know how they find it out? Is after it's been in the public's hands for a little while and they figure out, you know, a lot of people are dropping dead from, what was it, Vioxx? Remember the stuff that was supposed to, like, help your joint health? Right? Like, if you had bad joints, you take this and... Oh, indeed, it kind of worked, but then all of a sudden, a lot of people were dropping dead. And they were like, maybe this is not a good idea. And then they pull it, and then you get a class action lawsuit. If you have any survivors from your estate who can prove you took Vioxx, you know, good luck. And it's just craziness over and over again with this stuff. And meanwhile, you know, you want to talk about the pseudoscience with psychiatry, I guess I should look at it the same way, which is that both things are tested on the general public. You know, they give you this idea that we test it before we release it to the general public.
Well, you know, except things like COVID vaccines. Now, they don't really test those very much. They just go ahead and put those out straight for use.
Oh, yeah. Even after they told us how much testing they had done and everything else, now they admit, yeah, we didn't really monitor that too well. It's okay.
Yeah, we kind of fudged the numbers, but hey, you know, we're only up to our fourth booster, so make an appointment. It's there for you.
Yeah, because safe and effective, which is all that I'm allowed to say, which is, by the way, the primary reason why I was banned from YouTube. But anyway, we've got a little under a half hour left to this show, and so we're going to continue on. I'm going to take a little break here. Jimmy James is on the line, but you can join us, and we could kick around any topic you want. 319-527-5016. The Open Mic Live Friday Night Ocelli Effect will continue after this.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
But my ankles sort of really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
News, entertainment, and more. You will learn something, children's. Ocelli.com.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson. With new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia. 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before.
You're going to have mental depression for people. You're going to have large numbers of suicides. Take a look at what happens in a really horrible recession or worse. So you're going to have tremendous suicides, but you know what you're going to have more than anything else? Drug addiction. You will see drugs being used like nobody's ever used them before, and people are going to be dying all over the place from drug addiction. I want them to appreciate...
Hearsay, slander, rumors. There's a G for that. Okay? So how do you combat it?
Slowly, carefully, painfully.
It's a painful process.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Final segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Friday night, open mic, and we got a little less than 20 minutes to work with. BP is still with me. Let's see, I think Jimmy James is still on the line. Yes, he is. And we actually got another caller just now. But you could join us, 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. And you can always reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype, and I will call you into the show if you message me and ask me to. But do not call me on Skype during the show. Thank you. But you can message me, and I will call you into the show. Anyhow, we do have another caller, BP, so I don't know if you want to go there or if you got something you want to cover. We've talked about pharmaceuticals, baseball, K-pop, you know, we've been around the news a bit. I got a little depressed with Jimmy James over.
You know, and funny, but Every one of those contains some element of pharmaceuticals, either steroids or amphetamines or, you know, it all blended right in. See how we mix stuff up and yet it all comes together so neatly.
Steroids, amphetamines, Chantix, oh my. You know, lions and tigers and bears. Why not? Okay, so let's bring in the new caller. And like I said, we only got a little bit left in this segment tonight. And then we're done for the week because Aaron Franz's The Age of Transitions is no longer on at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fridays. It'll start at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, live on Ocelli.com radio. And thankfully, I own my own radio stream. Otherwise, I might get thrown off of that, too. Anyway, let's go to our newest caller. You're on the air, brother. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Well, I'm just wondering, does anyone have any scary Halloween stories? Like, you know, the you know, the whole fable about, you know, razor blades and candy and poison and all and whatnot.
Razor blades, candy,
man,
and poison.
The only horror story I got is to relive my last divorce, and that one was a little expensive, so I'd rather not have to hash that out again.
Yeah, no, I hear
it
that.
It is scary.
Yeah. I hear that. My ex-wife was scary all by herself, but, you know, it's okay. No mask required.
Halloween has changed so much in the years. I mean, the last four places I have lived, so this goes back, 10 years, not a single trick-or-treater has come by. Mm. Maybe that's why I'm gaining 30 pounds every month of October, because I'm eating all the, you know, the fun-sized Snickers, but it's changed. I mean, they're either going to these group events, or they're going up to, now this is funny, in the South, you know, you go to church and you have trunk or treat where people park their cars and pop the trunks with all their candy in it. And we teach our kids to go get candies from strangers out of their trunks, you know, on All Hallows Eve in the church parking lot. Now tell me that's not a mix.
That is bizarre. I was just going to bring that up because we got the same thing in Georgia. And, you know, people think COVID-19 killed it, but, I mean, it definitely put it out of its misery, but it seems like trick-or-treating was dying here, you know, 2016, 2017, and I didn't understand it. I was like, wait a minute, why are these kids not coming out? I mean, even when I lived in the trailer park, you know, a couple of the kids from the trailer park would come knocking, but that was it. Like, it wasn't, you didn't see kids coming from other neighborhoods, or none of that. And I had more than enough candy, even though I didn't buy much candy.
That was the first,
if you
think about it, that was the first official act of busing. You know, kids in this neighborhood are going, we're going trick-or-treating in that neighborhood because they give out the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, you always go to the rich neighborhood because they got full-size candy bars. That used to be the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was a kid, it was like, go to where they got money. All right. Cause over here, you know.
See, we even started the premise of forced busing on our kids at the age of five.
Because you got to go get the big,
terrible place.
You got to go get the big candy. I mean, even in Jersey, man, it was like, yeah, don't go trick or treating in Asbury Park. You're likely to get robbed. Go over.
And when was the last time you saw a homemade Rice Krispie treat being given out on Halloween? They don't do it anymore.
Man. No.
Because you tell your kids not to take this, don't take the non-store bought stuff.
Well, don't take something that's unwrapped, that's for sure. But we used to go, we would get on a train and go to, Red Bank or Little Silver to go and, cause they had money in Little Silver in Jersey. And, you didn't go trick-or-treating in my neighborhood, although there was one nice enclave in Neptune called Shark River Hills where they had, you know, more money. So we would go to any neighborhood that you knew, you know, people made a decent living, that's where you went to trick-or-treat. You know, the poor neighborhoods, you might get the little mini candy bar if you were lucky, you know, but a lot of them just would have a lollipop. And that was what you got. So you're like, nah, I'm going to go get like a full size Hershey bar or Milky Way or Three Musketeers or whatever. You go to Little Silver, they might give you a couple of those, handful of them even. Cause doctors and lawyers lived over there, man. You know? So, but,
you guys miss the haunted house attractions and like the hay rides and the spook trails. And now they have this thing called Hell Night that these, fundamental Christians like to put on and scare the hell out of everybody for sinning.
They've really gotten expensive. Those things used to be free in a lot of communities. And then someone said, hey, if we put a little effort into it, make it look a little more realistic, we can charge. Down around here, there's a couple of big ones that run for like 2 weeks and they make a killing. People are just going to them hand over fist. Mm. And they're really heavy duty productions. They get into, I mean, actual theater productions in these things, and they bring them in by the busloads.
Well, what was funky in Jersey again is we had a couple of these, like professional haunted places. The haunted mansion was on the pier in Long Branch, and there was, this place in Keensburg, the Brigantine Castle, I think it was called. And, those places would be like summer attractions, believe it or not. where people would go and there were live actors like, you know, the Headless Woman and all that stuff, trying to freak you out, and like actors would run around and like act like they were chasing you with an axe and stuff like this. Stuff like that. And that would be a summer attraction, but then they would reopen again in October. And also, if you had a Six Flags near you, for many years, many decades, in fact, they had, I think it was like some sort of fright month or whatever for October, where you'd go there and everything's Halloween themed.
Yeah, they do that at Carowinds down below Charlotte on the South Carolina line. And they call it Scarowinds for, I think it's for the month. And to go to that, you have to be 18 or over.
Yeah.
But yeah, they dedicate the whole month to it.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I mean, like, I'm the only person in my neighborhood right now. I've got one of those, you know, those stupid blow up things that people put on their lawns. I've got it on my porch, and I've got a giant ghost. Okay, with a light on it and stuff. So I got this big like light up ghost that inflates and like. But I'm the only person in the neighborhood. An inflatable ghost, no kidding. And people saw like 2 years ago I had an inflatable turkey. For Thanksgiving too. I don't know why, but Kim really likes those things. and Frankie enjoys them. So I put them out there, but I don't think I'm going to get any trick or treaters this year. Last year I got zero, in my neighborhood. And, I don't know. It just doesn't, that trunk or treat thing. I hear about those. Funny thing for me is I always hear about them afterwards, trunk or treat. I never hear about them ahead of time to take Frankie to go. So honestly, you know, even when he wants to do something, I wind up buying him a bag of candy, pretty much. I mean, because I don't even know where to go to get him candy for Halloween. That's where I'm at with this. Okay, so I don't know what's going on. I know COVID did damage to this for sure, but it seems to me like it was trending to non-existence anyway. And Hell Night, by the way, Chris, you bring up Hell Night. Hell Night is an old concept. It used to be a big problem if you read up on the history of Hell Night in many American cities. It was like a night of
Hell Night. I understand that. No, I said the Hell House, that concept where these fundamental churches would each room would be a different sin, like a rape victim giving birth, you know, out of wedlock.
Oh God,
addicts like overdosing, and it was all to scare people because for sins and whatnot.
Yeah, no, all kinds of like moral scare you to death stuff. You know, here's this woman. Yeah. You see how she's vomiting up blood and everything. You know why? It's because she was unclean and she was having sex with men. Yeah, and then you go to another one, and here's somebody, and they're going to hell, and you know why? Yeah, right. You go to different rooms in the church, and they scare the crap out of the kids. Yeah, they do that along with a trunk or treat. So then you go outside and they go, take candy from these people in their cars that you don't know. Which used to be a problem, I thought.
don't take candy from strangers in CSAs.
And in the church parking lot.
I mean, it kills me. the fact that we're teaching our kids that you go and accept candy from strangers out of their trunk and in a church parking lot. That's the part that kills me.
You know what? Jimmy James has called back in. I need to ask him something. I mean, Jimmy James, isn't Halloween just a bunch of socialism anyway? It's a whole bunch of people going around looking for handouts for free. So who would want that anyway, right? Jimmy James?
All fun and games. Now Halloween's been ruined.
Halloween is ruined. Yes, I agree. It is totally ruined.
The kids today
remind me of the classic King of the Hill Halloween. Remember that one that guest starred Kathy Bates?
Oh, yeah, Halloween. Hank gets in his devil outfit, right?
Yeah. And meanwhile, Kathy Bates, they're talking Bobby into thinking that. And all kinds of Satanism stuff, and then his dad's all dressed up like the devil. Come on, Bobby.
Yeah. Man. man.
Yeah, kids don't know the joy today of going trick-or-treating, coming home, switching costumes with your brother, and then going back out and getting it again.
It's bad. I mean,
that's kind of where I was going with that, yeah.
You know what's funny is, I've been through a couple of different stages of this because my older kids, when they were young, occasionally I would get them for Halloween. And also, I was around for Katie's very early Halloweens, and it was still kind of like the old days where, you know, you could go around in your neighborhood a little bit, and then, of course, I would take her to the better neighborhoods. And, you know, I didn't live in the ghetto or anything when she was little, but we didn't live in the richest neighborhood either, but we were just adjacent to some better places in, like, Tom's River. So I would go over to where the doctors and lawyers and actors lived, and where Mike Piazza's house was, right? And go take her trick-or-treating over there when she was real little. And they would give out candy, and it was fun, and there were bowls, and even people, some places would leave bowls on their front porch and be like, you know, please take one piece, stuff like that.
Of course.
You know? And, that is all gone. It just all disappeared, like, I would say it started to disappear heavily in like 2009 or 10. And now it's like you said, I mean, in the South, it's trunk or treat and come on into the, scare you to death with the Christian fundamentalist thing. And that's it. Like the weirdest thing is that now the only Halloween you get is in the church parking lot, which is really strange.
Which you wouldn't think they would want to celebrate Halloween to begin with all the pagan stuff.
Well, no, because that was the whole thing when I was little, is that the very, very Christian people and Mormons and stuff would be like, oh, that's evil. You know, like that's all a divination, yeah. And it's satanic and it's based on satanic stuff and da, 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 da. And like,
right.
I don't know. It's like they won. I don't know. They won. They won. No, you can't do it anymore. Yeah. There never was, you know, razor blades in the apples, but that persisted.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and still it's like, no, it's all evil. And now they absolutely control it. If you don't go to trunk or treat, you ain't getting candy. You're beat. You know?
One less thing for kids to enjoy that we actually got to partake in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
Well, that's, you know, they had the easy solution when you got done trick-or-treating. The local hospital would, the emergency room, you could go up there and they would x-ray your kids, you know, candy. So now we're not only going to make them fat, we're going to give them all this stuff they don't need, but we're going to radiate it before we give it to them.
Oh, yeah. That was a temporary
part.
Yeah, they started
that. Our hospital for years started doing that. Yeah, our emergency room is open for any parents that want to have their kids candy x-rayed.
Wait, they didn't do that in Massachusetts? They didn't do that in Massachusetts?
We'll stop those razor blades.
Yeah, Chris, they didn't do that in Massachusetts?
No, not in Massachusetts. We just had to collect for the UNICEF thing, like the pennies or whatever. That's about it.
Well, see, that was another thing that started to happen, like when my oldest daughter was, my oldest child, who is my only daughter, she ended up with a bunch of money. The 1 year when she went, these people were just throwing change into her candy bag. And like, you know, she barely knew anything about money at like three. And she's like, what am I going to do with all this? And I'm like, well, you can buy your own candy with it, you know. But,
I will say that some of the best Halloween celebrations were in Hollywood and in Massachusetts and Salem and whatnot. I will say that, and they still are pretty good about it now, that even though that most of the country or even the world doesn't really celebrate it anymore.
Well, then you never saw it on the Lower East Side in New York, man, because Halloween, boy. The East Village in New York.
I heard about the parade was cool, but I don't know if they still do it. COVID.
I don't know if they do any of that anymore, but when I lived there in the 90s, it was like, the freaks come out, baby. It was like insane. like elaborately dressed people, you know, stuff, people like literally wired, with like lights and like three person costumes, people coming out as Chinese dragons, just like all that crap. And then they would end up
Greenville over.
over here at East Carolina University, it used to be a big thing on Halloween to go downtown because all of the bars that had bands had special prices, special deals, and then everybody would congregate on the corner of 5th and Cotanch. They'd eventually have to close those two streets, and you had about a three-block area downtown. It was just people having a good old party. That, I think, has died down. They've put the kibosh on it and hassled people so much. Of course, COVID didn't help. But I don't know that that is still a thing that went, and that's something that went on for years and years. People would drive miles to go to Greenville for Halloween.
Yeah, see, my understanding is that that's another thing that died in New York and New Jersey is that, because I was a heavy metal musician in the 90s, and we always had a Halloween show. And it was usually a pretty big one, and people would come dressed in costumes. And like, it would be a mix of like hard rock and metal bands, and it would be like all day long, you know, for people that were just too old to go trick or treating. And, some of the bars would even have, bowls of candy. It was very cool. It was very cool stuff. And, like, you know, jack-o'-lanterns all over the place, like the Stone Pony. I remember they had problems because people were grabbing the jack-o'-lanterns and smashing the jack-o'-lanterns during the show. And there was just freaking pumpkin. There was pumpkin pulp. Yeah, literally smashing pumpkins. There was just pumpkin pulp flying everywhere when I was trying to play a show at the Stone Pony. I'm getting like pelted with friggin' pieces of candles and pumpkin guts and freaking all kinds of remnants of jack-o'-lanterns because they lit jack-o'-lanterns all along the back wall at the Stone Pony. And they learned very quickly never to do that again. But, yeah,
oh,
I mean,
those are the days.
But it was freaking fun, man. You know what? I didn't even care that I was getting pelted with pumpkin stuff. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It's the same.
People don't know how
that
to raise
crap.
People don't know how to raise hell and have a little fun, man. They just don't know anymore. I don't know what to say. But I do know we're at the end of the show tonight, BP, so I don't know if you want to give everybody a quick 30-second shout-out or whatever, but I turn it over to you, my friend. We've had an eventful show, and it's been fun, as usual. So what do you want to do with the last couple of minutes?
Well, we can give everybody a parting thought, and we can start with Jimmy.
Cool.
Jimmy, you got any final words for us to get us through the week?
No, nothing to mind. I got nothing. Don't be taking those wooden nickels. All right, everyone, have a good weekend.
There you go. Thank you, Jimmy James. And you know what? I think you're on the list of just a few people that I've got to mail out the brand new Ocelli stickers to. I am collecting names for the mailing list. Very simple. If you make a donation anytime in between now and Election Day, I guarantee I will send you at least a handful of the new Ocelli Effect Syndicate stickers. So that's what's going on.
And that mailing, that list is not to be confused with the other list.
Listen, there is no blacklist, okay? There is no blacklist, and there's four people on the list right now that I need to mail stickers to. That's it. Okay, just saying, I mailed some to my friend in Switzerland who deserves a hell of a lot more than a lot of stickers. Patricia B., big shout out to you, hon. But other than that, anybody who makes a donation, you're going to get a handful of stickers just as long as you send me an address after you make a donation and let me know you want the stickers, you'll get them. Okay, and I could really use that help right about now, especially because of the various challenges and income being turned off on me, too, along with being deplatformed. But what the hell? Chris Graves, why don't we get your final thought, and then I'll let BP close the show.
Well, I just want to say that I appreciate you, BP, and Nature Boy. I don't know if you called in earlier or not. And also for anyone out there listening, to just remember to tip all your escorts because they are human beings as well. Have a good weekend.
Listen, you should tip anybody who is giving you a service, and that's something I stand by. So there you go. And I can always use the same kind of treatment at least you'd give to a pizza guy. So there you go. If you think I'm serving you at all by providing you with any of this material, again, Ocelli.com, hit the donate button. And, yeah, just send me an address and you'll get some of those stickers and maybe some other stuff in the envelope. B. Pete, your final thoughts, my friend.
Well, I just tell everybody out there, as you know, thanks for listening in. Thanks for coming into the chat room. It's been a great Friday. Looking forward to next Friday. Go to Ocelli.com and hit the donate button. Do what you can. Every little bit helps. And then no matter how small it is, it adds up. Other than that, we'll see everybody next Friday. And I hope everybody has a good and productive week.
There you go. And B. Pete always says, you know, support your local food banks and look out for each other, too. So I'll say it this time. I am Merely O'Kelly. All of you are indeed the effect. And we'll see you on Sunday for Get Mad with Chris Graves and The Age of Transitions with Aaron Franz plus Uncle the Broadcast. Now on a new time, he'll be starting at 10 p.m. Chris Graves starts at 8 p.m., and that's on Sunday here on Ocelli.com Radio. Until then, see ya.